Ephesians chapter 6, and I begin reading with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would so come and do a mighty work among us. Spirit, even as you have time and again taken the things of Christ and made them real to us, let that happen once again, we plead in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Paul is about to sign off. Ephesians was a great city, and it was a great letter that Paul wrote to the believers who were situated there, right on the doorstep of one of the most notable goddesses of the ancient Greek and Roman world, Diana, Artemis, the temple going by both of those names, and the goddess which was worshipped therein. But Paul does not just shuffle out the door. He goes out with thunder, and as he signs off one of the most powerful and memorable verses which ever come from his pen are what we have before us today, Paul declaring that we are to be strong in the strength which God provides. And he wants to build upon all that he has already given to us, the rich truth of how that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but that Christ is the one who has come to make us alive. It was absolutely none of our own doing, of our own strength. It was Christ who has worked this marvelous wonder to bring us to where we are. And as Paul has taught us how that we are to not just interact with the Lord, but interact with one another as service and honor to the Lord, he now comes And he wants to remind us of the struggle that is. The struggle that is. And I want to go through, especially Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 20, where Paul talks about the armor that has been provided to us and the very reason why this armor is given and what we must do with it, what it is absolutely urgent that we do with it. So the struggle that is, first of all, the struggle that is real. Paul understood the struggle, and he had given his absolute life and everything that he was to the cause because he knew that it was a real struggle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. If we were just to read that verse in isolation, the natural question was, why? Why? And the answer is, because there is a real struggle. Periodically through the course of our world and tensions and turmoil and battlefields, those who have been at a distance may have written it off and said, well, there is no problem. But those who are closer to the encounter, they understand so much better. Indeed, there is a problem. Second World War was such a time. Was there really a problem? Some would write it off and say, oh, it's a distant conflict. It's a petty skirmish. It's a little thing. It was as real as anything could possibly be. And here, Paul, he says to us, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, because this battle that is real, you will absolutely, completely be undone if you do not, first of all, realize that there is a battle, that you will be snuck up on, you will be tricked, you will be deceived into thinking that it is just some petty little thing, or that it has nothing to do with you, it's for someone else. First of all, it's a real struggle. Second of all, in the verse which follows, it's a struggle that is vicious. Verse 11, Paul says, put on the full armor. How that he enunciates to us what those different pieces are and what their purpose is. But he says, I don't want you to head off into battle thinking that one piece is going to do it. You need to be fully equipped. You need to go into battle properly dressed. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The devil is described as a roaring lion that goes around seeking someone whom he may devour. This is a vicious conflict into which Christ sends us, but he does not send us either unequipped or alone. But most certainly it is a vicious conflict that we come to. Some of you know exactly what Paul is speaking of, not simply because you read it on the pages of Holy Script, but you have encountered that within and without. And I would submit to you that I have come to the conclusion that the struggle that is within is more vicious than the struggle that is without. But Paul, he says, it's real and it is vicious because there are schemes that the devil will want to throw at you, and you need to be able to stand firm, fully dressed, fully equipped, fully prepared. But it's also a struggle that is deceptive. Verse 12, Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. How easy it is, even as this world sets up idols, and it is so easy for people to say, I need something visual in which to focus my attention upon. And so gods are set up that are visual. And how easy it would be when we come to a struggle, when we come to talk about spiritual battle that needs to be entered into, and that we enter into whether we want to or not, that the spiritual battle is not against the flesh and blood that stands before us, though those forces may work through them, but we must see beyond that which is visible and see to that which is invisible. And Paul says the real struggle, this vicious struggle, it is against rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, which come at us and which don't want to be named, which want to remain invisible. And when you might raise it to someone, they say, well, what are you talking about? Are you losing your mind? It doesn't exist. Fourthly, Paul is talking about a struggle that is yours. A struggle that is yours. Verse 13. He says, take up the full armor. There are two phrases as you go through here that are repeated numerous times. One is stand firm, and the other is full armor. You're not going to stand firm if you don't have the full armor. But if you have the full armor, you will be able to stand firm. So verse 13, Paul again says, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Previously, Paul has talked about this is what we should do, and this is our struggle, what comes at us. But he's zeroing in now, and he's saying, oh, this is what you need to know. Here is the truth, that it's not just coming at the person to your right or to your left. It is coming at you. This battle is yours. It is not simply for selected saints. It is not just for church leadership or those who you might imagine to be on the front line. Paul says you need to take up the full armor of God because you're in the battle. Say, I don't want to be in the battle. You are in the battle. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have entered into the army of the Lord. And Paul wanted these Ephesians not to be undone. He didn't want them to be bowled over. He didn't want them to be shot down. He wanted them to stand firm, fully dressed. Take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. In the temptation of Christ there in the wilderness, after he had been baptized by John at the Jordan, 40 days of fasting, and the devil comes to him with three particular temptations. And in those temptations, there is sort of the gamut of what the devil comes at us with today, though changed in various ways. It runs the gamut. But Jesus, he resisted, basing his response upon the word of God. And it says, the devil left him for a time. The devil left him for a season. There are times when temptation comes hot and hard at each and every one of us. And then there are times when the devil would seem to ease off, and he is actually planning the next frontal attack. Paul understood that. He understood that there were some days, some afternoons, some evenings, some night times, when it could be especially described as the evil day. But Paul is wanting these believers to stand firm. It's real, it's vicious, it's deceptive, it's yours. But in the following verses, 14 to 17, Paul describes this as the struggle that is won. The struggle that is won, W-O-N. Donald Gray Barnhouse frequently pointed out that we do not fight from, or rather, we do not fight to victory. We fight from the position of victory. In Christ, the battle has been won. There is such a certainty to that that we can describe it as a past event, as a fully accomplished definite. Paul talks in verse 14, stand firm there, and he starts to describe the battle gear that we have been given, that God has given to us. How cruel it would be if God was to send us into the fray naked or just dressed in rags if we did not have what we needed. But the Lord who has loved us, the Lord who has given his life for us, the Lord who is now even preparing a place for us to dwell for all eternity, and the one who is our advocate, he is the one who has given us of his Spirit. He is the one who has given us of the battle gear that we need. So Paul begins, having girded your loins with truth. How vitally important it is that we hold to truth and never let it go. That it be our food and our drink, and that we delight in it, and that we rejoice in it constantly. But Paul says also, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that which is right, doing the right thing, believing that which is good and pure and true. Verse 15, Paul says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A warrior who is slipping and sliding and not able to keep his footing is a warrior that is most certainly about to go down for the last time and to be pierced through. Paul says that we are to stand, and that we are to stand firm, and that part of that is that we have feet, than that we have shoes on our feet. And the gospel of peace is what puts strength under us and causes us to stand. Paul then says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. Now here is not something that is necessarily worn. He's talked about the loins, and he's talked about the chest and the abdomen. He's talked about the feet. Now he comes to those parts where they are carried. The shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The devil, he does not just shoot arrows at us, but he shoots arrows that they will burn, that they will sear, that there will be not just the piercing effect, but that they will burn away. And Paul says, you need to have the shield of faith that you will be able to extinguish those arrows when they come at you. The question, it's an amazing question, what is faith? What is faith? Faith is believing that when I step into an elevator that it is not going to plummet down 50 floors, but that it will safely carry me to my destination. Faith is getting on an airplane and believing that I can make hotel reservations and that I will fulfill those reservations and enjoy the privilege of days ahead. But when people come to the Bible and they read about faith, all of a sudden it becomes a great mystery. What is faith? We can have faith in the devil, or we can have faith in Jesus Christ. The natural, unregenerate man has faith in the devil because our nature has been so corrupted that there is a natural bent and a draw to believe what the devil holds out is good and right and enjoyable, and that there will be no consequences for those things. And so the devil holds out something, and Jesus comes along and he says, "Oh, I would offer to you something far better." The devil has you drinking out of a muddy pond, which is diseased, and don't you see all the dead bodies laying around? I would bring to you clear, fresh, living water. And the question is, who do you believe? Do you believe, that is, do you have faith that which you have been drinking from, and which is very often so disguised that you don't even realize the wretched garbage that you're putting down, do you continue to believe what the devil has been offering to you? Or do you change your allegiance, and do you believe a different voice, a voice that strangely calls to you, and because you are made in the very image of God, it draws you, but you're in this battle. There is the devil that pulls hard. And do you believe? For the one who has come to trust in Christ, we have come to believe that he is the very Son of God, and that he has come into this world to be the Redeemer that we desperately need. That we believe that we have fallen into sin and that we have been corrupted, but that we have been loved with an everlasting love. And so we have come to surrender ourselves to Christ. And so we have come over to taste and to see that the Lord is good. But the devil, he, like a guerrilla warrior, does not want to let us go. And so he shoots at us these arrows. He shoots at us and bids us to return to his fold. And we need to hold up the shield of faith. We need to hold up that which is true and right, that which we have come to have confidence in, that the Word of God is the right voice that we should attend to. Paul says, and take the helmet of salvation. It's only right that a soldier should protect that noggin which is commanding the arms and the legs to move. And Paul says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the very Word of God. Paul is saying that with this weaponry, with this garment put on, with these unseen things, we are able to do the battle, and that we are on the winning side, that victory is sure. But Paul goes on, and three more verses I would especially want to draw your attention to. It's a struggle that is calling us to strive and fight together. Not to strive and fight against each other, but it is a struggle in which we are called to strive and to fight together. At the writing of this epistle, Paul had already conducted most of his missionary journeys that we have any record of, and he was now in prison and writing back to those to whom he had ministered face to face in person. He was a great man, and he deserves our rightful honor. But see how he addresses the believers there in Ephesus. See how he speaks to them and bids them to pray on his behalf, because he realized that the struggle was not for him alone, that it was for them, but that it was not for us in isolation here and there. He says, now, you've been dressed for battle, and you understand that the battle is real. You understand that it's a vicious and deceptive battle. You understand also that the battle has been won. But he says, now, with all prayer and petition, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, with this clearly before you, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, he says, the great Apostle Paul. He is asking them that they would pray for him, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. And he reminds them again, even as he did at the outset of the epistle, for I am an ambassador. Before a battle would be engaged, usually there would be an embassy. There would be a message that would be sent to the opposing force. Do you surrender? Or can we come to terms without the shedding of blood? Paul, he comes as an ambassador. You see, God sent forth his Son into this world, not that this world might be condemned, but that this world might be saved through the work of the cross. And so God has already sent his embassy. He has sent ambassadors, just like Paul, into this world. And they have come that blood might not be shed, but that there might be a surrender, that there might be terms that are agreeable. The only agreeable terms to God the Father are that we surrender, because we are an offense. We have sinned against him, and we have violated his everlasting and holy law. And so we come, or rather Paul comes, as God's ambassador. But Paul here, he says, pray, pray, and petition at all times that the word might go forth. Dear friends, I submit to you the struggle that is real, that is vicious, that is deceptive, horribly deceptive, that is yours, that is won, and that is calling us to strive and to fight together. Because the Lord, he would have us all safely home. It is his love for you. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you have loved us with such a love that you have not only come to save us, but that you have so equipped us for the battle in which we yet labor. But Lord, how we praise you that we are confident of the victory and that you, as we read at the end of Revelation, that the Lamb is all the glory, we praise you. May there be men and women here today who would bow before you and say, Lord, I surrender to you. I give my very life to you. And may there be joy in our hearts and joy in heaven also as they take that very step of trusting in you and in you alone, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.